today on Real Radio.
The Bible teaches us that if you have faith in Jesus Christ, you're going to go to heaven. Not works, not money, not tithes and offerings, not working in the children's ministry, handing out bulletins, being an usher, whatever. None of that. All of those things come out of your life because you are a believer, not that you're trying to become one.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Compromise, Man's Easy Fix, continues a series called The Book of Acts. The Book of Acts records the powerful ministry of the first century apostles. Many years have gone by since the Apostle Paul first began his missionary journeys, and now Paul is back in Jerusalem, and he's ready for the end of his mission. In the message called Paul Pleads Guilty from Acts chapter 24, we saw how Paul was lied against and his words were twisted when confronted by the Jewish leaders. So Paul pled guilty, but his confession was that outside of Christ we are dead in our sins, but in Christ we have the assurance that there is life after death. And only those who believe in Jesus will have eternal life forever with him. Now in Acts chapter 24, verses 22 through 27, we'll see how compromise only leads to indecisiveness, hesitation, lack of direction, and vision. We were created for a purpose, and part of that purpose is to know what to do and where and when to do it. Today on day two of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that there's always the temptation to compromise. Sometimes pressure gets the best of us, but like Paul, we're to confront people with the truth in love and in self-control. Paul knew that his testimony would stir up trouble, but it didn't sway him from keeping to his word. And now, continuing in his lesson called Compromise, Man's Easy Fix, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Maybe you're young or a teen or whatever, and something comes down in the physical realm and you feel terrible. You feel filthy, and your soul, it's like you can't take enough detergent and soap in you when you go to the shower. You can't take enough baths or showers. You feel like you've defiled yourself. And then the next time the opportunity is there, you're saying, no, man, I don't want to do that. I felt bad. I don't want that to happen. And it happens again. Now it's happened twice. And then the third time, it happens again. And you don't like it, and it's not right, and you don't feel any more comfortable with it, but it happens. And then the fourth time, it's like, well, you know what? We really shouldn't be doing this. And then the fifth time, it's like, well, you know what? I don't know. And then you're out to the ninth time. And it's like, or can you come over tonight? And then the tenth time is, when can we be together again? You know how that progression starts? The heart is saying, let's not do this. This is wrong. No. But as you continue in it more and more, the calloused heart is covered more and more with dead conscience, dead feelings, dead awareness. Every one of us in this room understands what I'm saying. And God is the same way. He's saying, I love you. Don't violate yourself. Don't reject me anymore. You come to me. And then we say, no, not now. No, you know what? I'm going to wait. I'm going to call for this guy. I'll wait. And every time that happens, people, our hearts get a little hardened towards the message of Jesus Christ until the Bible says there comes a point in time when people sit in services and they roll their eyes and they go, oh, brother, that's a joke. When do we get out of here? The Bible says that that heart is already hardened. And the Bible says when a heart is often reproved and hardened, God can take you away and it's without remedy. And how do you hear that tone this morning? Do you hear that from a guy who wants to pound you? Or do you hear that from somebody who honestly believes in the Bible, loves Jesus Christ, and cares enough to tell you, though I may not even know who you are? And our tendency is to push it off. Verses 24 and 25, we see the second point, and that's being confronted with the truth of Jesus. How do I tell you this without making you upset? The gospel of Jesus Christ is confrontational. That's why the people outside these walls are against you and against this message. We'll tolerate, like we mentioned last week, we'll tolerate anything except Christianity, true Christianity. we'll tolerate anything, but just don't let us have the truth. I don't want to hear it. Why are we so misrepresented in the media? Because the tone that people are hearing from us is that we hate them or we don't like them. Why? We tell them that they need Jesus. Why don't you mind your own business, Jack? Stay out of my life. You know what? If you want me to stay out of your life, I'll stay out of your life. Just say, don't say that. Don't knock on my door. Don't tell me when we get together at Thanksgiving or Christmas about Jesus anymore. Then what I would say, and I've said this to people who have said that to me, I said, tell you what, can I say one thing and then I'll be done with you? I'll never bring it up again. And what do you think I'm going to do at that moment? You just stand right there. In fact, can you move a little bit to the left? A little bit, right there. Stand right, still, right there. No. I'm not going to blow them away. But that's what they're thinking. You look at them right in the eyes and you tell them, you know what? Jesus is real. I'll never tell you again. He died for you. He loves you. If you die in your state right now, the Bible says there's a hell and it's real. And Jesus hung on the cross between heaven and hell to keep us out of there. I'll never talk to you again about it, but will you decide for Christ? If you don't do it now when you're in trouble, if you ever have that luxury, will you call out to him? And I promise I'll never speak to you again about it. And listen, if that's happening in your life, you tell them and then never speak to them again about it, but you convert your time in prayer for them because you love them. Isn't it radical what he's done to our heart? It's almost like it's not fair. Jesus gives us love for strangers. Jesus gives us love for people we don't even know on an eternal realm. And they're thinking about, is this tie nice? How's this dress look? And you're going, it's fine. The tie is fine. Why are we? We're looking past into their lives and we're saying, oh man, you need Jesus. Just leave me alone with that stuff, will you? You're bugging me. That's what they said about Paul last week. He's a pest. All because he cared. All because he loved. Compromise will destroy us. Verse 24, it says that after some days, okay, well, some days have passed. He hasn't made a decision about Christ. We know that. When Felix came with his wife, Cruella. Don't you want to say Cruella when you see that? Do you? Is it just me? I don't know. I want to say Cruella de Vil. Remember her in 101 Dalmatians. That's it. Is she great or what? She just makes your skin crawl. Felix and Cruella. What a. It's Drusilla, 19 years old. He stole her from another man. Historians tell us that she was what we would call today a centerfold. She was a toy. Felix was a ruthless slime. He was a mean man. He murdered people out of whim. He was bisexual. He was a mess. The Jews couldn't stand him. Josephus writes about his life. And he was known to kill somebody at the drop of a hat. Saddam Hussein is not beyond shooting one of his advisors right at the table. Remember the guy Idi Amin? Anybody remember Idi Amin? Or I asked that last service, and like the whole church went, what? Three of you, five, ten. Oh, you're holding out on me. I think he was the despot of Uganda, wasn't he? Uganda? Newsweek reporter was in his room with some other reporters. And it was when all the hubbub was going on with him and his tyrannical reign and all the stuff that he was doing. And his general, he turned to his general and told him that he had made the wrong decision. And guys came in and cut the general's head off. And Idi Amin, the Newsweek reporter said, for 2 weeks had that general's head on his desk and would yell at him and curse him and then punch his head across the room and put it back up there and yell at him again. The guy was nuts. And he was the head of state. Can you imagine? Where are you going on vacation? Uganda. Don't lose your head. Crazy. That's Felix. It's the kind of guy he is. Ruthless. But Paul is not going to compromise. I don't know if you've ever been in that position of, like, you get the temptation, you get a voice, don't compromise. You got another voice, compromise! I remember way back, this was like 1982. Feels like 1882. We were having this big bash at work, and there were about 3,000 employees at that location, and it was catered by In-N-Out Burger, of all places. And they had their big truck there, and the big thing was going on, and it was a pep up the employees time, you know. And we're all down there, and I noticed that the division president, after he got done making his spiel, went back into the building. And everybody was out there, and I saw his secretary, so I thought, wow. Because the Lord had been laying on my heart to share the gospel with this guy. And his office is just huge, and you know the kind of thing I'm talking about, multi-big-time million-dollar guy. And I walk up there, and this door is slightly open. And I'm praying, oh, God, please, if the door's shut, I won't do it. If the door's shut, I won't do it. So I get upstairs, and the elevator, and his door's open. Great. Walk in there. Yes, come on in. Wow. You're walking in there, and I'm thinking, compromise! Walk in there, and yes, you know what? I just hope you don't think I'm crazy, but I'd like to share something with you. Sure, go right ahead. Have a seat. I sit down. It's like an ocean on the other side of his desk. And I said, well, you know what? If you happen to walk by my cubicle, you notice there's a Bible on my desk, and this is the reason why. And I feel like I owe you an explanation, which is not quite exactly the truth. But I'm saying this stuff. I think I'm going to tell you why. And so he just settled in. I wasn't thinking race time was going to go over too good when that came up. And he said, when I got done, he said, where do you go to church? Oh, no. Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. What service do you go to? First. He goes, I go to third. Yes. Safe. I was dying. But the pressure, compromise. Paul stands before Felix and he's going to just talk to him. But how do you hear it? What's the tune? What's the tone? What's the sound? Paul's an old guy, 5 feet tall at best, standing in front of Felix, ruthless killer, an adulterer, mean guy. Paul confronts him with the truth. The truth is confrontational. The truth will always be confrontational as long as man is willing to lie. And listen, we've been born that way. We're liars. The Bible says all men are liars. Oh, I find that highly offensive. Well, it also says that we're all full of pride too. So there you go. It says here in verse 24, after some days, Felix came with Drusilla, who was Jewish. And he sent for Paul and heard him concerning faith in Christ, the gospel message. What does it mean, people? It's so great. We will get to verse 25. We will get to verse 27. But we got to hit this thing. Faith in Christ, what does it mean? It means if you trust Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life and ask him in, Revelation 3:20 says, I stand at the door and I knock. If you'll open up, I will come in. To what? Your heart, your life. Felix is hearing and heard what you're hearing right now, except through a great deliverer of the Word of God, Paul the Apostle. Incredible. Faith in Christ. Yes, the Bible teaches us that if you have faith in Jesus Christ, you're going to go to heaven. Not works, not money, not tithes and offerings, not working in the children's ministry, handing out bulletins, being an usher, whatever, none of that. All of those things come out of your life because you are a believer, not that you're trying to become one. But listen, it's faith in Christ. It's not how hard you work for it. It's like the the rich millionaire. I think you've heard this story before. I've told it before, where the media is interviewing this old guy. He's made millions and millions of bucks in his lifetime, and they're interviewing him and say, "How'd you make all your millions?" The guy sat back in his chair. He goes, "Well, many years ago, when I was just a little whippersnapper, I got an apple off a tree. And I shined that apple up all night. I shined that apple up, and I sold it for a nickel. And I took that nickel, and I bought two more apples. And I shined those two apples up and made them so pretty and so shiny, and I sold those two apples and got 10 cents. And I took that 10 cents, and I got more apples, and I shined those apples. And I did that, and I did that, and I did that until I got $1.60. $1.60? What does $1.60 have to do with you making all your millions? He said, "Well, I came home from shining and selling all my apples, and I found out that my wife's husband died and left us millions of bucks." You see, shining the apples, it didn't make the million. He inherited the million. And that's exactly how salvation is in Christ. It's received freely. A lot of people running around shining apples. And God wants to give it to you freely. That's why it's so hard for us to accept. You're given a gift by God and you fight it? Who are you? When the sovereign ruler of the universe says, "Will you take this gift, please?" "Oh, that's okay. I know you can give it to some of these other people, but that's okay. I'm fine." What a dope. Now, what's happening with Felix's life is that, is so to speak, God would lean over and say, "Hey, Felix, wake up. This could be your last call to this invitation. Choose the gift. Don't go out in the streets, or else I'll spank you. Don't hurt yourself. I'll be angry at such things. I take no death or pleasure in the death of the wicked. I'm not willing that any should perish, Felix, so you come to me." "Oh, no, that's okay. That's okay, really." And he compromises. It says right here in verse 25 that Paul reasons. He gave reasons, or he reasoned. I'd love to hear Paul do this, but the word means to give complete, thorough arguments, to argue the case perfect. That's the gospel presentation that Paul is giving. And listen, you think he just pulled out his little crooked finger and began to curse that ruler? No, you see, you're hearing the tone wrong. Paul looked at him, and whatever happened, it seized, for a moment anyway, Felix's heart. It says in the middle part of verse 25 that he reasoned with him concerning righteousness. The word righteousness here means right living, living the right life. Well, what is the right life? What God says, what God's laid out in his word. Yes, that's true. But Jack, I've tried to keep all the laws and all the precepts of the Bible. I can't do it. Well, join the club. None of us can. The ultimate righteousness, the Bible says, is receiving Christ, and his righteousness is given to us. And that's how you'll live right. Not always in the sight of one another, but always in the sight of God, because he sees the motive of our hearts. He also talked to him about self-control. This is almost hilarious. A man who's willing to kill somebody at the drop of a hat, and Paul's talking to him about self-control. "Yeah, I'd like to talk to you about self-control now for a moment. Felix, I've noticed and I've heard, you're a pretty well-known guy, that you just kind of lop people's heads off, you know, right at the drop of a hat. You're a pretty volatile dude. You're major stressed out. You got some kind of a thing going on in your life that's just eating you up. You don't get along with anybody. You're at war with everybody. And I think you're at war with yourself more than anyone. Felix, don't run from God anymore. And I want to tell you, you can have self-control, Felix." And you can see this murderous man start to, "Self-control? I can have self-control?" Maybe he even said, "I'd like to have self-control. I hate these tangents of mine that I just go careening off into the loony land over. I'd like to have self-control." And Paul would say, "You know what? It's one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit." "Well, what's the Holy Spirit?" "Well, when you receive Christ, like I've been telling you about, the Holy Spirit will move in you. And he will begin to work these things out of your life." "You mean he'll do it in me?" "Yeah, he'll do it in you." "You mean he'll actually come inside?" "He'll come inside." "You mean he'll change me? I don't have to change myself?" "Yes, you've got it." No kidding. This is interesting. Well, listen, you bet it's interesting, because people who don't choose Christ, look what the next word is that Paul deals with Felix about. Judgment. there's judgment to come. The word in the Greek is krima, and it means to avenge, to execute condemnation, judicial punishment. So in our vernacular, lower the axe. There's a day coming, the Bible teaches us, that judgment will be meted out. Listen carefully, read the fine print. Those of you who are Christians this morning, you and I will be judged in 2 Corinthians 5. We will be judged according to our works, whether they be good or bad, meaning if our motives are correct or not. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 10 through 11, we must all, that is the Christian, we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's not the judgment seat of the Father, people. There's a great difference. All Christians will stand before Jesus, and he's going to review our motives. And the word judgment seat right here, write it down in your margin. It's B-E-M-A in the Greek, Bema, the Bema seat of Christ. You know, you watch the Olympic Games? That's the Bema seat. That's what that three-tiered step-level award platform is. It's called the Bema. Go to the Bema and receive your reward. Every one of the people who approach the Bema and get on the Bema get a reward. Did you notice that? Even the guy in third place. He's getting a reward, an award. All three are winners. Some first, second, or more winners than the third guy. Why? Well, in Bible, in Christianity, before Christ on that day, we will be judged according to our motives. Why are we doing what we're doing? It has nothing to do with salvation. You're in there. Isn't that great? But in Revelation chapter 20, beginning at verse 11, talks about the judgment where all those who have rejected Jesus will stand before, and none of them are saved. And the books will be opened up, and they'll be judged according to the books. And then the Bible says, Revelation 20, the book of life will be opened up, and their names are not written in the book of life. They never made that decision to come into the Lamb's book of life. And the Father will look at that book, and he'll say, man, your name's not here. Why isn't your name here? What do you mean? Your name's got to be in here to get to heaven. Okay, well, what's the deal? Well, didn't anybody in your life talk to you about Jesus Christ and coming to him freely and him dying and rising? Yeah, I thought that was a joke. I would never do something like that. That's stupid. That was the message that would have put your name in this book.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Compromise, Man's Easy Fix. Thanks for listening. And you know, the truth is Jesus is always on time. He's never in a hurry, except in one area, and that is to make a decision to spend eternity in heaven with him. But our time is limited, and you know, there's no better time than right now. Compromise, Man's Easy Fix. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Did you know that Real Radio can be shared with your family and friends who have questions about the gospel message? The Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet provides you with a wealth of information on sharing God's Word, and it makes a great witnessing tool. It gives you a variety of resources right there at your fingertips, including the Real Life TV broadcast, weekly devotionals, and the Real Radio daily audio broadcast, and that includes previous episodes. You can also check out our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, or go to YouTube and subscribe to Pastor Jack's YouTube channel. There are over 500 videos readily available that include teachings, messages, intro clips to Christianity, or anything else that Pastor Jack wants to share with us. Our phone number, if you'd like to write this down, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.